Amen. Well, thank you very much. It is an absolute privilege to be here this weekend to serve you and to get this opportunity to speak this evening. As Lindsay's already introduced, and if you haven't got it yet, our weekend is called Inside Out, and it's from that Romans passage. And I just want to read it again from the Message version. In Romans 11, which is just before Romans 12, it says this in the Message. It says, "Is there anyone around you who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favour that God has to ask him for advice? For everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes." So in view of this, in view of who our God is, in view of how majestic, how powerful, how awesome our God is, it says, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God has done for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you will be changed from the inside out. You know, I've been journeying with God for quite a few years now. I'm 33 and I had a real encounter with God when I was 18 years old. It was one of those sort of moments, and I'm sure many of you could probably empathise, where you have those moments where you need God to intervene. I was a little bit like the woman at the well, didn't really have any hope, didn't really feel like I had any direction, felt rejected, felt trapped in my circumstances, in who I was as a woman, didn't know who I was listening to the same tape recorder of junk going round and round in my head. And it was in a moment that as I was reading my Bible, I was finding out who God was for myself. And she started to have an engagement, a conversation with Jesus. And I too started having a conversation with Jesus one night in America by myself, studying the Bible for myself. And God really challenged me as an 18-year-old girl about the lifestyle that I was living, the people that I was hanging out with, what I was doing in my life, and basically said, "Sarah, this is not the best for you. This is not the best for you. I have a life for you that is much more than this." And I felt broken. And like this woman at the well, she says, doesn't she, that I've met a man who's told me everything I ever did. And it was that moment of just seeing myself in a mirror and seeing who I'd become and realising, God, this is not who I want to be. I need to change. I need you to help me. And I remember that night just feeling, God, I need you to intervene in my life. God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for who I've become, God. This is not who I want to be. Would you change me? Would you restore me? And it was within 12 hours, God radically changed me. I was forgiven. I felt like a new creation. Anybody remember those times? You remember that time in your own journey where God changed you, where God transformed you, when God has said, "Sarah," or whatever your name is, "I have something more for you." And maybe this weekend you're sort of coming here quite desperate, I think, some of you. You're feeling like you may be off track a little bit. You maybe feel like you're not where you once were. You maybe feel like you've even ended up down some cul-de-sac somewhere out in left field, somewhere over here. And you don't quite know how you've got there. But this weekend, God is going to draw you back into the safety of his love, the comfort of his arms, because you've looked in comfort in so many other places. And God wants to say to you tonight, come back to me. Come back to me. You know, when I was 30, which is just a few years ago, I was single, and I've been single for most of my 20s. And my sister got married at 20. My brother was with his girlfriend from 20. My mum and dad were married when they were 20. All of my friends were having kids and families in their 20s and all settling down. And I got to 30 and I'm like, God, what am I doing? I'm painting and decorating. Like, is that what I imagined my life to be? I'm hidden away and by myself for hours upon hours every day. I'm a bit of a depressive person anyway, so that's not the best place for me to be. And I'm like, God, what is going on? I'm not married, there's no prospects for that. I'm like, I'm living at home with my mum and dad, for goodness sake. Like, what's going on? And I remember just having a, and at the time as well, it was only like that month that I turned 30 that I was at, that me and my boyfriend had broken up. So I was not in the best of places. And I'm a pastor in my church and I'm sat at the front in a bit of a mess, if I'm honest. I'm sat there and I'm crying. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? God, where are you? And I remember sitting at the front of church. And I'm sharing this because so I've already sort of heard this word tonight as Lindsay was praying for us. And I don't know if anybody's seen the film Avatar. It's a science fiction film. It's a bit out there. I'm not saying go and watch it. It's just a film. But God speaks to us in so many different ways other than the Bible, doesn't he, and worship. He speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us through secular stuff and music. And at the front of church, my pastor just shut down the worship. He just said, let's just be quiet just for 1 minute. He said, in this moment, what is God dropping in your mind? What picture comes in your mind? In that moment, an image from that film dropped in my head. And in that film, these two weird alien blue creatures stare at one another, looking into one another's eyes, in this moment of love and affection, and one says to the other, I see you. And the other says back in return, I see you as well. And it was a moment, I'm sat at the front of church looking up to heaven, and God saying to me, Sarah, I see you. And I'm saying to God, God, I see you, but I don't see what you're doing. And I looked it up. I looked it up in my Bible on my iPad and on my study Bible, I put in the search engine thing. I put in, I see you. Do you think it was there? It was there. And do you know what story it was? It was a story of Hagar. The story of Hagar. And this woman is in such a predicament, isn't she? She's just slept with her mistress's master. She's pregnant. She's had this baby. There's all this jealousy. There's all this strife. It's like, you think your family has problems. You think you're, you know, this is like Jeremy Kyle, like 4,000 years ago. Like, this is serious. And this woman, she's got all this pressure from her mistress and she's sort of sent out. And she's out in the desert. She's about to die. And the Lord sends an angel to Hagar and says, what are you doing here? Go back. Go and submit to your mistress. I've got a plan for you and your son. Go back the way you came. And I was just like, flipping out, this is great. This is like where I'm at, God. And then it says that Hagar, as she's thinking about this encounter with God, she says, you are the God that sees me. And tonight, ladies, God is a God that sees you. He sees you in the craziness. You know, I've already been on reception welcoming many of you in. And, you know, some of you have been like, oh, I've still got baby brain. I've still got kids. You know, it'll just take me a while to unwind. And as you unwind over these next couple of days, God's going to start to unwind you. He wants to woo you back to himself. So tonight I want us to have a look at the inside of us. Because for me, my journey with God has not ever, it's not something that's just done and dusted like, you know, 15 years ago. It's a journey, isn't it? And it's a journey of allowing God inside. It's a journey of me saying, God, I need you. God, come and fill me. God, it's this encounter, it's this relationship, constant, continuing. And my question tonight is, what's inside of you? What's going on inside of you? Because I was that broken woman. I've been a broken woman a lot over, I'm sure. You know, I'm fairly emotional. And even those few years ago, I've seen God restore me. I've seen God bring life to me, faith back to me. And I'm engaged. You know, it's like, God, that's amazing. It's amazing. Your promises. You see me. You never let me down. You've never let me go. And God's the same with you. He's no respecter of persons. I spoke a few weeks ago in my own church on a Sunday morning about, you know, having a spring clean. I don't know if you still have a spring clean or whether it's something that you do all year round, but, you know, if maybe not, okay, no, but it feels good when you have a good sort out, doesn't it? Feels good when you have a good look through your wardrobe and you're like, oh my word, what is that, or when have I had that, or, you know, it feels good just to have a right good clean. And I really pray that this weekend would be a right good clean, up north, you know, a right good clean, you know, my northern accent's coming out there, like, but a real good, like, just commune with God. And that you just start to be like, yeah, I'm on track. Or if you're on track, then praise God. If you're here this weekend and you're like up for it, and you're like here to be equipped and to go out and do more, then great. But I live not far from the Lake District, and not too far from me there's a monastery with, there are 10 nuns in this monastery. And I had a day off once, and I just had it in my head that I needed to go to this monastery, and I just needed to go and hang out there for a few hours, as you do. So I went on this day. It was a miserable day. It was really raining, and I went to this monastery, and I knocked on this big door, and this stereotypical nun came to the door, big glasses, wonky teeth. Like, she opened this door, like, looking at me, and was like, yes. And I was like, I know this is a bit weird, but can I just come and sit in your chapel, and I just want to be quiet for a few hours. She was like, of course, come on in. So I came in, and I went into the chapel, and I sat there for a couple of hours, and I watched these nuns. I was sat at the back. Sarah, could you get me a glass of water? And I was sat at the back, and this nun, this other nun, she came in and she thoroughly dusted the whole room. Like, she didn't just do like, oh, just that. But she like did all the chairs and all the rims of the chairs and all the skirting boards and every nook and cranny of that thing. And I bet she did that every day, every other day. I couldn't see any dust. And she was dusting. She was cleaning that room. You know, like, we need to clean ourselves. We easily become contaminated. We are vulnerable in this world to fall and to make mistakes. And we need to keep on top of cleaning, because you know, don't you? When you get home after this weekend, when your husband's in there and he's got the kids, and you know, you dread to think what you're coming home to. But we need to keep on top of our homes. How much more do we need to keep on top of our homes? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14, this massively struck me when I was at Bible college. In John chapter 14, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to leave, but he's not going to leave them alone. He's going to send a comforter. And he says this beautiful line. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me, and my Father will love you, and we will come and we will make our home in you. We will come and make our home in you. That was like boom to me. That was wow. God wants to make his home in me. What on earth does that look like? Because if I'm a home of God and my home, you know, what sort of house would you be? Would you be a penthouse apartment in a beautiful city? Would you be a mansion with a swimming pool and tennis courts? Would you be a little cottage, you know, or a farmhouse? Or would you just be a semi-detached, maybe just quite normal? Just, that's fine. What would you be? Because God wants to extend, he wants to renovate, he wants to put a conservatory on the back, he wants to build into the loft. Our God wants to create in you something new. He's interested on the inside of you. He's interested about what's going on in there. He's interested about what you struggle with. He's interested about what's in the cellar. Because I've had to deal with some stuff. We've all got stuff, haven't we? We've all got stuff from our childhood. We've all got things that, you know, keep coming up. We've all got rejections. We've all got it. But I choose to deal with it. And trust me, I've had to deal with it time and time again, because God sorts out one room, but then he goes to another room. And then that room before needs cleaning. It needs looking after. It needs maintaining. It needs decorating once in a while. Bit of, you know, you need a decorator and your woman. But our God is the ultimate property developer, renovator of the human heart. And our God is majorly interested on what is going on inside of us. And tonight, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling a bit yucky, if you're feeling a bit like something isn't right between me and God, then maybe this is your time, your opportunity to have that all-important conversation that says, God, what is going on here? He'll tell you. It might be something that has just happened over the last month or so. It might be something that's been festering for ages. It might be something that you're holding onto that you can't let go of. I don't know your circumstances and situations, but God doesn't want us holding on to unforgiveness. God doesn't want us holding on to bitterness and resentment and disappointments. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. And just like our physical homes... Just like our physical homes, God wants to clean us, because you know, nobody else really cleans your house how you want it to be cleaned. And you might have well trained your husband and your kids, but nobody else is going to fix you. No, I'm not going to lay my hands on you for a Pentecostal massage or whatever else, you know, and it magically go away. We need to yield to the working of the Holy Spirit. We need to yield to him manoeuvring and changing us. And it doesn't happen overnight, does it? It doesn't. Nothing frustrates me more as somebody who is into house renovation and it's my job than people who just want to, oh, it'll just do. No, it won't just do. Let me do it properly. You know, and God wants to do a proper job with you. He doesn't want to just skirt over stuff or brush things under the carpet. He wants to deal with the heart issues of your life if you'll let him. He wants to make his home in you. You know, our hearts are the centre of who we are. When we invite Jesus into our hearts, ever do that as a little child? You know, even through my teenage years when I fell away from God, I remember that moment when my mother prayed with me, probably being 6 or 7 years old, in the bath and asking Jesus into my life. Those moments will be scarred, will be put in the memory of your children. So don't lose hope for them. Keep praying for them. You see, the Bible talks about the human heart. And when we invite Jesus into our hearts, we're inviting him to be Lord of our emotions, Lord of our will, of our intellect, of our mind. The Bible talks about the heart that is far from God being proud, foolish, deceitful, rebellious, perverse, wicked, hardened, unbelieving, gone astray, just to mention a few. But the regenerated heart, it cries out for the living God. It trusts in the Lord. It loves the Lord. It praises, sings, rejoices in the Lord. It obeys God's law. It is upright. It speaks truth. Is steadfast and secure. Is pure, wise, sincere, courageous, loves others and more. I know which heart I want. I know which one I would rather have. And wonderfully, God in the Old Testament, he promises, look, the law, my law is not just going to be written on hard stone anymore. I am going to you're not going to have a heart of stone anymore. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And there's this promise through the Old Testament that God is going to make all things new. And we are living in such a day. We are living in a day where our hearts are being regenerated, where we are being sanctified. A heart of flesh, and he is empowering us to do it. There's a story of a father, and he gets up one on Sunday morning, and he's excited to just have a bit of peace and quiet. It's early, the house is quiet, and he's going to read his paper. He gets into the dining room, sits at the table, gets out his paper, puts on his glasses, sips his coffee. Hello, Daddy. What are you doing, Daddy? Oh, hi, darling. Just going to read the paper. It's early. Why don't you go back to bed? I'm not tired, Daddy. Well, why don't you go and see what Mummy's doing? Well, I want to be downstairs now, Daddy. So he's like, oh. Want to have 5 minutes? And he looks at his newspaper, and there's an advertisement. There's a picture of a world. He thinks, oh, I know what I'll do. Gets some scissors, and he cuts this picture of the world up into little pieces. And he gets some sellotape for his, you know, his little daughter, and he gets this world all jumbled up into pieces. And he puts her in the room next door, and he says, you know, I've got a task for you. Put this world back together for me, and when you do that, come back in. So he leaves her, and he thinks, yeah, I've got maybe 10 minutes here, and he sits down, sips his coffee, starts reading his article again, and within just a few minutes, he's not even finished his first article, and his daughter said, done, Daddy! He's like, how have you done that so quickly? And she's like, well, Daddy, there was a man on the back, and when I put the man back together, when the man was right, the world was right. And so often, if we're right in the inside, our world is working right. And we can so easily look at our world and think, oh, you know, all this mess is happening, because it's all heart issues. Pride, greed, power, money, sex, whatever it is. And it's so easy to point a finger, but what is going on inside of us? Because if we are right, then we will make our worlds right, our families right, those around us. It has a massive impact. You see, God is in the business of rebuilding order and restoring peace. When I did my first year of Bible college, I was pretty messed up, if I was honest. I'd been depressed for quite a few years before then. I was clinically depressed. I was on antidepressants, sort of was off all that for a year, but I still wasn't in a great place. Went to Bible college, and really I was just like, oh man, this is really hard work. And again, the pressure of it all. At the end of my first year, I did it. I came home, and where I live in Lancaster, I was brought up on a farm, and where I still live, we still own all the fields around where I live. And so I was walking in these fields, and I was really battling with God about going back to carry on my degree, and just saying, God, I don't want to do this. This is really hard. You need to change some things in me. This is not comfortable. I'm struggling here. And through our family land, there are a couple of pylons. And I felt like God said to me, as I was battling with him, as I was praying with him, as I was sort of asking him to not let me go back, he sort of said, you know, Sarah, I want to make you steadfast and secure like that pylon. It's strong. It carries electricity. It carries strength. It is strong. It's steadfast. It is stable. Let me tell you, I had to go through another year of feeling a bit like this, for my third year to just be gaining a lot of victory, a lot of stability and strength. And I'm sure you have. You know, life isn't always easy, but I've trusted in God and seen him come through time and time and time again. And it's wonderful that he's renewing my heart, that he's changing me. He leads us where we don't always want to go. And when we get over one level, he takes us to another level, doesn't he, annoyingly? He takes us somewhere else. We might trust him here, but he starts to take us somewhere else where we don't trust him. So what does it look like? How do we have a spring clean? How do we keep on top of things? Well, what does this verse in the message suggest that we do? It says, don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you will be changed from the inside out. So many distractions, isn't there? So many things to worry about, to faff about, to be distracted with all of the time. I was looking at a photo once that I'd taken, and God just impregnated this thought in my mind, and it was just like, if you would just sit and listen long enough. So often in our immaturity, we just faff about and we throw out all these prayers to God, these rapid fire machine gun prayers, and we get it all out there. But we don't listen for a response. We don't sit in his presence. We don't enjoy his peace. With all good intentions, we try to, but we're not very disciplined, are we? And we make mistakes. And I want to encourage you that God sees us tonight, and he's asking us, would you come to me? Would you be in my presence? There's this amazing parable in Luke 8. You'll be very familiar with it. It's the story of the seed and the sower. The sower and the seed. And so often we use this in our sort of gospel messages or our gospel thinking that we, you know, we're throwing out this seed and, you know, whoever catches it, you know, will get saved, you know, maybe 1 in 4 or 25% or whatever it is. But really, I really think like this has massively spoken to me about my own heart, actually. Because Jesus talks about us cultivating our heart, I think, in this story, in this parable. And today your heart, you know, you're at this conference and you're hearing all of this word. But depending on what the condition of your heart is, will depend on what soil your heart is, will be dependent on what you will receive, what you will take from here, and how you will change. So if your heart is hard, you're going to hear the word, but as soon as you've heard it, as soon as you're out that door, it's forgotten, it's snatched away. Because you've hardened your heart. Or you might have a heart that is like that is stony ground, and that seed, the word of God, will fly out, it'll go out on your heart, and you receive it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm up for this. And then Monday comes, discouragement comes, and it's snatched away, it's gone, there's no root, because you're shallow, because you're not spending time with God, you're not in the word, it's not a daily thing. Or maybe you're like the soil where the seed is thrown out and thistles and thorns grow up around it. Because you're so concerned with pleasures and riches and worries of this world that it just chokes up the word of God that is within you that you can't breathe. But the word of God, it says, when it falls on good soil, it'll produce a harvest with perseverance, may I add. It says that. If you'll hold it, if you'll retain it, if you'll persevere with that word. So when you have that word this weekend and the enemy comes and says, oh, God didn't do anything this weekend. You know, you're just the same. You've not changed. What's changed? Nothing. You have to take that word and you have to warfare with that word. You have to hold that word and you have to bring that word before God. And you need to say, God, this is your truth. This is what I'm hanging on to. And you need to see that word in perseverance, bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. That's what it says in Luke 8. What is the condition of your heart? And I'm not here to condemn you or to beat on you, but I'm here to say, look, this is an amazing opportunity because Jesus wants to grab hold of our hearts again. Jesus wants to make his home in us. Jesus wants to clean us. I want to be clean. I want to be a vessel that is open and wants, that is available for him. And I pray that that would be for you. Two things in my own life that are, I believe, that are massive in our inner lives. And they are these. We need to keep our focus on God. But there are two things that always come under assault. There are two things in our inner world, in our mind, that are always coming under attack. And these are what we believe about God and what we believe about ourselves. What do you believe about God? And what do you believe about yourself? These are two main areas that I believe I need to work on. What do you believe about God? Jesus, he asks his disciples, he says, who are people saying that I am? And his disciples come to him and say, well, some people say that you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Others think that you're Elijah, a prophet. Well, Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and he says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you say that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God? Because Jesus says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. I've confessed that. I believe that to be true. And we need to settle that question within us. Maybe you're here today and you don't even know why you're here. Maybe some crazy person dragged you here. Some Christian who's serious about God has dragged you here this weekend. And you're like, I actually don't really know what I think about Jesus. I don't really know what I think about God. Well, that is a question that you need to resolve. And I hope this weekend that you start to find that question resolved. You see, our God is freaking awesome. Like, our God created our planet. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever watched those nature programs and thought, wow, this is insane. This is amazing. I'm sat in my garden preparing this message in the sunshine, getting a tan. Like, it's not bad. It's not a bad life. And I'm literally a meter away from me. There's a bird box on the wall of my house. And there are blue tits going in and out of that thing, making a nest with feathers and bits of stuff. And I'm just like, I can hear them scratching away. I'm like, this is amazing. This is amazing. How does our seasons happen? God, you are so amazing. Our planet is spinning at 67,000 miles an hour. Who is making it happen? Our God. And I'm worried about my little life when my God is holding planet Earth and all of the stars in it. It's not all combusting in on itself. Our God is awesome. He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows when those blue tits are making that nest. He knows the hairs, the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows you. He sees you. He sees you and you're his daughter. And he loves you. And you're created for so much more than this. He sees you. What do you believe about God? You see, the enemy loves to have us question God's character. Right at the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Eve is having this very dialogue that we have in our heads today. Did God say, Eve? He gets us to question God. He gets us to think, well, surely not. Surely God didn't say that. Because if God did say that, God's hiding something from you, Eve. If you knew this, and you would actually be full of knowledge and wisdom, you would be like God. He fills us with all of this notion and nonsense. He gets us to question God. He gets us to question God's character and make us think that God is withholding something from us and that we need to take things into our own hands. And then we take things into our own hands and we fall off a cliff and we wonder why we've broken our leg and we wonder why we're hurting. Because we're not living. We don't know him. We don't know that he's good. At the last, we did an Activate conference up in the Northwest in Preston. And there was a young lady there, she's in her mid-30s, and she's a woman who, let me tell you what, you think your life is tough. This woman's got, she's got four kids. But one of those, her middle son died of cancer probably 2 years ago, you reckon? And within 6 months after he died, her husband died. Of cancer as well, is that right, Sarah? Something like that. Within 18 months, she lost her middle son and her husband. And she spoke her testimony at our last Activate sort of conference. And she was like, look, you know what? This is jolly hard. She's still mourning. She's still broken. But she says, you know what? I have to say every day, God, you know me. And God, you are good. God, you know the end from the beginning here. You are good. I don't see it now. But God, you are good. And we have to settle this in us that says, God, you are good. God, you are good. No matter what happens in life, however crazy things get, if I'm sick, whatever is happening, God, you are good. You know me by name. You see me. You have not forgotten me. We need to get this into our heads because we do go from glory to glory, but it's like hell in the hallway. It's like getting to that next level is sometimes crazy. But God is good. God is good. He's good. When I was going through real depression, I used to have scripture in my purse, in my pocket. I used to sit in the toilets at work. I used to sit there with these scriptures and say, I have the mind of Christ. You have not, this is not my lot, God. You have not forgotten me. God, I'm your daughter. I have a sound mind. You have plans and purposes for me. God, you're awesome. I worship you. I don't depend my faith on my feelings. But I live for you. I'm living for you, God. This was a decision every day, and I didn't feel peace for probably over a year. Trust me. God is good. And God saw me through that, and God has seen me through many other times. I'm afraid, ladies, we need to wake up. We need to grab hold of God, and we need to fight for this at times. Yes, there are times where we sit back and God fights for us, but there's a battle. We need to go after this. It's time to stop wandering around the wilderness and come into the promised land. It's time. Because God has not forsaken you. God loves you. You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't think his way out of the wilderness, did he? He spoke his way out of the wilderness. When the enemy came with an attack of this or that, he spoke and he silenced the enemy. We need to recognize what our core beliefs are about God, and we need to repent of it. We need to bring those things into the light and say, God, I'm believing this about you and this isn't real. God, forgive me. God, I'm changing my mind. God, I'm going after this. God, I believe that you're for me, that you're not against me. God, I've not slipped out of your hands. God, you've not forgotten about me. God, would you forgive me? God, would you cleanse me? Would you bring healing? God, I'm renewing my mind. Joyce Meyer, I'm sure she's a hero for so many of you. She was, you know, someone who, I've never met her, but I listened to her sermons every day when I've gone through dark times. She's taught me how to think. She's taught me how to get in the Word. And she, you know, if you know her background, she was a girl who was brought up in a very abusive family. She was sexually abused, raped by her dad all the way through her childhood into her teenage years, mentally, physically, emotionally abused. And God has just massively transformed her. But for probably a year, she had to say, God, you love me. God, you love me. God, you love me. And just to finish, just this last, what do we think about ourselves? What do we think about ourselves? What do we think about God? But what do we think about ourselves? What are your core beliefs about who do you think you are? Because so often what comes out of our mouth, you know, we like to talk, but so often we speak so negatively about ourselves. Oh, I'm fat. Oh, I'm ugly. Oh, I'm this. I'm useless. I'll never do this. I'll never accomplish that. Well, who told you that? Who told you that? You know, get in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve have sinned. They've hidden away from God. They're hiding from God. They feel naked and they're ashamed. And God wanders through the garden. He calls out to Adam, Adam, where are you? And he comes out hidden and ashamed. He's like, God, naked, sort of hidden from you. Well, who told you that? Who told you that you're naked? And that's been a little phrase that I've used so many times. Who told me that? Who told me that I'm useless? Is that coming out of the mouth of God? Who told me that I can't do that? Who told me that this area is hard for the gospel? Who told me that that person will never become a Christian? Is that the voice of God? Is that the heart of God? No, it's not. We label things all of the time. Jesus, when he's in the wilderness, Satan is questioning his identity. If you're the Son of God, and this is like a recorder in our own mind, you're a screw up, you've made mistakes. God wants to make his home in us. God wants to restore us. What is God even stirring in you, even as I'm speaking? In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to the church of Laodicea, and he says to them, you know, you've got all the lights, you've got all the money, you've got everything, but you know what? You're lukewarm. And Jesus says to this church, he says, I'm standing at the door and I knock. You know that beautiful picture, that beautiful painting? I'm sure many of us are really familiar with it. That picture of Jesus that stood at a door, and that door is full of, you know, sort of ivy and cobwebs, and there's no handle on the outside of the door. Does anybody recognise that picture? Yeah? Because there's no handle on that other side, because we have to be the ones that open the door to him. And this evening, my plea to all of us is that we would open the door of our hearts afresh to him. That we would be women that say, okay, God, what am I believing about you? Because you want to make your home in me. You want to make me work. You want my life to work. What am I believing about you that's stopping me engaging with you as I should be? God, what am I believing about myself? What am I believing about myself? Because in that verse in Revelation 3, Jesus says, if you'll open the door, I want to come and I want to have a meal with you. And today, this weekend, Jesus wants to have a meal with us. He wants to make his home in us because he's really interested about what's going on inside of you. And I'm positive, you know, I'm saying I'm hearing a word of knowledge or anything, because I'm sure there are many people in here tonight that are really struggling inside with stuff that's happening. And Jesus is asking you to let him into that. Maybe that's a scary thing for you. Maybe you feel like you can't do that. Well, I'm trusting that even tonight, and as we go through this weekend, that God's going to start to ignite something afresh. Just let me pray for us. Some of the main keys for us to, it's such a challenge for what, God, what do I think about you? What do I think about myself? But But the first step is just to acknowledge that that's where you're at. It's just to say, God, you know, just being totally honest with you, God, I don't see you as a father. I actually really struggle to relate to you as my father, because maybe my own father was a nightmare. Or, you know what, God, I'm really struggling to let you in here because I've been really disappointed too many times. Or, God, I've put my trust in you and I don't feel like you've answered my prayer. Or, God, people have told me that I'm useless and I believe them. And they make me small and I agree with that. Holy Spirit, would you just highlight some things in these women that just says, what am I believing? Come, Holy Spirit. Just where you're at, just engage with God. Just don't wait for the next thing or... This might be the first time you've maybe been quiet all day. Just let him drop something in your heart like he did that time when he just said to me, Sarah, I see you. So the first thing is just to acknowledge it. God, this is where I'm at. And then we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us. God, would you forgive me for thinking that? Thinking that about myself, thinking that about you. God, I want to change my mind. God, I need to get in your word about that. God, would you cleanse me? God, all around this room, would you just pour out your oil of gladness on these women? God, you're a glad God. You're a happy God. You love to set your daughters free. You love to bring freedom and light into our homes. There's nothing better, is there, when you open the curtains and it's a beautiful day. Well, God wants to open the curtains in some of your hearts and shine in his light and bring in his love and wash you clean again. God wants to bring hope and life this weekend and renew and refresh you. He wants you to get back on track. He wants you to turn out of that cul-de-sac and walk back onto the main road, that highway of holiness, and say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the true and the living God, and I will worship you and I will follow you. God, I pray that you would empower these women, God. Just even tonight, as we've just spoken, I've spoken about many things, as I've shared many ideas. But Lord, when we get right on the inside, when we make the man right, we make our worlds right. Come, Holy Spirit. Would we recognize? Would we repent? Would you cleanse us, God? Stand together.